You see, in the New Testament, we do meet some believers with high social standings, but there are not many of them. Yes, God will use the millionaire. God will use the doctor. God will use the businessman. God will use the lawyer. But God will also use the trash collector. It all depends how you would want to give your life to Jesus Christ. That's how God would like to use you.
Welcome to Somebody Loves You Radio, the Bible teaching ministry of Roel Reese in Diamond Bar, California. Nearly 50 years ago, the Lord freed Roel from a self-destructive pattern of sin and rebellion. Since then, Roel has been a living witness of God's ability to transform any life and use it for His glory. Call 800-634-9165 or visit SomebodyLovesYou.com for a free DVD of Roel's testimony. We're glad you've joined us for our continuing focus on God's call to boldly share the hope and love of Jesus. Today, Roel will challenge us to set aside any sense of inadequacy or fear of rejection that might be standing in our way. We'll see that when we make ourselves available and commit to obedience, God will give us all that we need to be an effective witness. The title of today's lesson is God is Calling You. In 1 Corinthians chapter 1, here's Roel Reese.
We want to see the call of God, the purpose of His call, and the sufficiency of our call in Jesus Christ. Let me begin by reading verses 26 through 31. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, that not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called. But God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise. And God has chosen the weak things of this world to put to shame the things which are mighty. And the base things of the world and the things which are despised God has chosen. And the things which are not to bring to nothing the things that are. That no flesh should ever glory in His presence. But of Him you are in Christ Jesus. You became for us wisdom from God. And righteousness and sanctification and redemption that is written in Jeremiah 9:23, He who glories, let him glory in the Lord." I don't know if you have ever stopped to think about the kind of persons that God calls and uses to accomplish His work. Look around. You'll be surprised. Many times we feel that God has to use somebody that is very talented, very wise, and very righteous before God can use that person. God is, first of all, not a respecter of persons. He uses whoever wants to be used. He gives you the opportunity to be used no matter how young you may be or how old you may be. It's never too late to be used by God in His kingdom. That's what I love about God. And you look at all the men and women and young men and young women and old men and old men and old women that God has used and is using, and it's amazing how God is on the throne. The calling of God is by the power of the Holy Spirit as He calls whoever He wants to call, and He'll use you however He wants to use you. It is not my choosing, it is His choosing. I like that. That He chose me and that He's choosing you. Look at the men that Jesus chose for Himself to accomplish His work in the New Testament, as He chose fishermen, tax collectors, and zealots in the New Testament times. If I was choosing, and if I had to make a team, I would only choose winners and not losers. But not so with God. God chooses whoever He wants to choose. We want to study this passage in 1 Corinthians 26 to 31. And we want to study it because we want to see how God might want to use you and me. I hope that you want God to use you. I want God to use my life. To whatever capacity He wants to use me, I am ready for Him to use my life. When Paul was writing to the Corinthians had some men in that city. They were very, very key people that God used Paul to bring them to salvation. And then they were used to not only enhance the ministry, but to enhance the kingdom of God and to help Paul out in the kingdom of God. And we'll see in a moment who these men were. But among the Corinthians, there was a problem and there was a tendency for them to be puffed up with pride. Three times we see this in the book of 1 Corinthians in chapter 4, verse 6. Listen to what he says. He says, "Now these things, brethren, I have figuratively transferred to myself and Apollos for your sake, that you may learn in us not to think beyond what is written, and that none of you may be puffed up with pride on behalf of one against the other." So many times, when God is using some person, but He's not using me, there's a tendency for you and I to become proudful and jealous of that person, the way God is using them, when God wants to use you too. In 1 Corinthians 4:18, 19, He says, "Now some are puffed up with pride, as though I were not coming to you, but I will come to you surely," Paul says, "if the Lord wills, and I know, and I will know, not the word of those who are puffed up, but the power of God." You see, it's not by might nor by power, but by my spirit, saith the Lord, that God chooses and God empowers people that He wants to accomplish His power and His glory and His work. In us and through us. That's what the scripture teaches. It's not according to your BA or your MA. It's not according to your doctorate. It's not according to how much money you may have. It's according to the grace of God that He uses us. Uses the most likely people that would ever succeed. He'll use them if they're willing to submit their life to Jesus Christ. And that's for anybody here today. That is the call of God. You see, the gospel of God's grace leaves no room for anyone to boast about anything. If it was the work of men and not the work of God, we surely would have great boasting sessions. Everybody would be puffed up. But you see, it's of God. God raises up the one that He wants, and He puts down the other that He wants. First of all, God is not impressed with any one of us. He's not impressed with our looks, whether you're ugly or whether you're beautiful. God is not also impressed with our social position in society. He's not impressed with our achievements. He's not impressed with our natural heritage. He's not even impressed with our financial status in any way. God just wants to use you and me to bring glory and honor to His holy name. This is why Paul here writes, if anyone would like to be used by God, then God will use you if you will make yourself available to Him. He will use you whether you're young or whether you're old. You see, in the New Testament, we do meet some believers with high social standings, but there are not many of them. Yes, God will use the millionaire. God will use the doctor. God will use the businessman. God will use the lawyer. But God will also use the trash collector. He'll use the bum. It all depends how you would want to give your life to Jesus Christ. That's how God would like to use you, if you're open to the Holy Spirit. I like that. For surely I want God to use my life tremendously in whatever capacity He wants to use my life. Listen to Harry Ironside, what he says. He says this, "Search out in me all hidden sin, O God, and may Thy purity within. So cleanse my life that it may be a temple holy fit for Thee, Oh, search my life, my will, my all, is now on thee, my Lord, I call. Purge me from self and sanctify my life, while thee I glorify thee forevermore. May we give our lives to the Lord. The question that I want to ask you is, what is the chief end of man? What should be the highest priority? Let me give you the answer. Man's chief end is to glorify God and to enjoy Him forever and ever and ever. That's what God desires. In the book of 1 Corinthians, He says that not only am I the temple of the Holy Spirit, but whatever I do for God, whether I drink, whether I eat, whatever I do is to bring glory and honor to the name of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. It's so easy to find out what God desires. If it doesn't bring glory and honor to the Lord in what you're doing, then you should not be doing it. And that's the way to examine your heart. Is this bringing glory and honor to the Lord in what I am doing? For God desires all the glory. God wants to enjoy not only us, but He wants us to enjoy Him forever and ever and ever. You see, the call of God brings glory and honor to His holy name. So here in verse 26, we see the call that each one of us have received of the Lord. The call of God is not based on one's position or greatness in this world. He says, "For you see your calling, brethren, not many wise according to the flesh, not many mighty, not many noble are called." And then Paul reminded them of what they were. He's talking to the Corinthians, and he reminded them of three groups of people that were sitting there in the church of Corinth. Number one, the wise, the mighty, and the noble. The mighty, this is in reference to the intellectual of that time, the intellectual men that were living there in the city of Corinth, what they had learned from the schools of the Greek philosophy. Paul was preaching the gospel to them too. And then you had the mighty. This points to the influence of men in the city of Corinth, that which they had gained through political or military conquest, their trophies of victory. God was also speaking to them through Paul. And then the noble, that's in reference to the inheritance of men or the status of birth into well-known families, being born in a good family. And Paul also was ministering to them. In Genesis 12:1, God called Abraham. He said, "Now the Lord said to Abram, get out of your country and from your family and from your father's house to a land that I will show you." And Abraham was obedient to leave his mother, father, and brother and sisters and to go where God wanted him to go. The call of God is divine. And then God called Moses to go back to the people of God and take the people of God out of Egypt. In Exodus 3:10, He said, "Come now, therefore, and I, God, will send you to Pharaoh, that you may bring my people, the children of Israel, out of Egypt." And Moses obeyed God as God spoke to him. And then how about Gideon? In Judges 6:14, when God told Gideon, He said, "Gideon, I'm going to use you against the Midianites, and there's 22,000 that are there, but I'm only going to use 300 of you to go out and wipe out all those people, because I want the glory and the honor for my name." And Gideon said, "Well, Lord, if you're really speaking to me, why don't you do a miracle for me? Why don't you take this piece of cloth here, and during the night, why don't you, instead of wetting it on top, wet it on the bottom, then I'll know it's you that's speaking to me." And God did that. And divinely showed him that it was a calling of God. And God used Gideon without firing one shot against the enemy, but by screaming and yelling and hitting their pants together, the enemy fled and killed one another, just as God said He would do to get the glory. Now, secondly, what is the purpose of our call? We see that in verse 27 and 29. Listen to what he says. He says, but God has chosen the foolish things of this world to put to shame the wise, and God has chosen the weak things of the world to put to shame the things which are mighty, and the base things of the world, and the things which are despised of God has chosen, and the things which are not, to bring to nothing the things that are, notice the reason, that no flesh should ever glory in his presence. If you would go out and be used because of your degree or because of your financial status or because of your wisdom or your good looks, put it this way, you would take the glory, and God doesn't want that at all. He wants to get the glory and the honor among his people. And Paul the apostle here reminded the Corinthians of why God had called them. You see that verb there that is used in verse 27, had chosen? This only happens to be used twice in the book of Corinthians. It is actually translated in the Greek like this, which is implying that God has chosen men of his own interest. I like that definition. It is not God using you according to your own agenda or your own interest, but according to God's own interest, he chose you and he chose me. You see? He called you to fulfill his kingdom, not your kingdom. And so it's important that we understand that in the choosing and the electing, in this whole thing that God does, is that God has chosen us to save us, to love us, to bless us, and then to use us as a demonstration of his gracious will, not because we deserve it. Because all we deserve is hell, but he's given us heaven freely. Think about that. Look of everything that God has done for you. As a matter of fact, when you look at salvation or the source of salvation, the first thing that I see here, it is because of God's grace that I am what I am and what you are, because of his grace. In Ephesians 2, 5 and 8, he says, even when we were dead in trespasses, he made us alive together with Christ. By grace you have been saved. For by grace you have been saved through faith. It is not of yourselves. It is the gift of God. Notice what he says. It is all of God, none of you, none of me. It's all of God. And secondly, it is because of God's love that he has for you. It is not how much you love God, but how much he loves you that he's called you. In Romans 5:8, he says that God demonstrated his own love towards us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. Christ died for you. Christ died for me. That was true love that he gave to you and me. And thirdly, because of God's mercy, he chose you and he called you. And then fourthly, it is because of God's redemption. Look how he paid for you the full price. We've been studying that in the book of Ephesians on Wednesdays. He redeemed you. He paid the price for you. This is why in 1 Corinthians 1:18, Paul said, for the message of the cross is foolishness to those that are perishing, but to us who are being saved, it is the power of God. Look around you. Look at the power of God in each one of our lives as God has called us to be his children and to be his instruments. It's all of God and none of men. And then third point, the sufficiency of our call. Look at verse 30, 31. But of him you are in Christ Jesus, who became for us wisdom from God, righteousness, sanctification, and redemption, that as it is written, he who glories, let him only glory in the Lord. And here finally Paul is reminding the Corinthians, but he's also reminding you and me today, that it had been because of Jesus Christ. Everything that has happened to us. From Christ, our wisdom proceeded. Three great facts, personal character and experience. For example, number one, his righteousness, not your righteousness. What do we mean when we speak of this righteousness that Paul is talking about here? Well, first of all, this is the quality of being right with God. And it has to do with our standing before God as He now has forgiven you and He's cleansed you and He's washed you, and you stand before Him even as though you had never sinned against Him. That's our standard before God, as we stand before Him. You mean God forgives everything? Everything. When you repent and you stand before God, even today, right now, you stand in His righteousness. Secondly, we stand in sanctification. What do we mean by sanctification? Well, literally, that is being separated to God. That is, that we belong now to Him and we are serving Him. In John 17:17, Jesus said, "Sanctify them by your truth. Your word is truth." You see, this is a quality of our lives as the previous fact that we spoke about, referring to the position of our life now in Jesus Christ, that is being separated from God by sin. We now have become separated unto God by salvation. We used to be dead. We were on our way to hell. But Jesus Christ saved you and cleansed you and washed you, and He set you apart for Himself. We are totally separate from the world. That's why we call ourselves Christians. We're not of this world. We are pilgrims and strangers cruising by. And then the third thing is our redemption. And redemption here is emphasizing the fact that we are set free because Jesus Christ paid the price for us on the cross when He went and He died for our sins. Listen to 1 Peter 1:18, 19. He says, "Knowing that you were not redeemed with corruptible things like silver and gold from your aimless conduct of life, receiving by the tradition of your fathers, but by the precious blood of Jesus Christ, as of the Lamb without blemish and without spot." That's what redeemed us. The precious blood of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. And that is the only thing that can ever redeem any one of us here or anyone outside of this room. The only way is to be redeemed by the blood of Jesus Christ.
Well, if you've been feeling ill-equipped or insecure about sharing your faith with others, we pray that today's message has given you fresh confidence in Christ's ability to shine the light of His love through you. You're listening to Somebody Loves You Radio with Raul Reese. If you'd like to review the lesson you've just heard, we can send you an unedited copy for a gift of $5 or more. Just call 800-634-9165 and ask for Raul's teaching titled, "God is Calling You." We'd also like to tell you about Raul's 5-CD series simply titled, "The Call." As you think about how the Lord might want to use your unique talents and experience to spread the gospel, this audio pack will inspire you with insights into the power that comes from surrender. You'll see that God is used to working with the imperfections of His people, and He can guide you in paths of eternal purpose when you follow Him in faith. Get in touch with us today to order The Call. To make your purchase, visit SomebodyLovesYou.com or call 800-634-9165, and we'll send you this 5-CD study for a gift of $20 or more. That's 800-634-9165. Or you can write us at Somebody Loves You Radio, P.O. Box 4440, Diamond Bar, California, 91765. We also encourage you to enjoy our many free Somebody Loves You resources, each designed to infuse your daily life with wisdom from God's Word. Visit Raul on his YouTube channel every Tuesday at 10 a.m. West Coast time for Straight Talk, a Q&A program that features Bible-based encouragement for godly living. You can also explore our archive of Raul's teaching and download any Somebody Loves You radio program as a podcast using iTunes or Spotify. To keep the Bible at your fingertips, take a moment to download our free app to your iPhone or Android. You'll also find digital Bible studies and an easy reading plan for your personal devotions. Our number one goal here is to support you in your spiritual growth with the Bible's unchanging, anchoring truth. We welcome your thoughts on how we can best serve you. When you contact us, we'd also love to pray for you as well, so don't hesitate to share those requests with us. And of course, you can always connect with us on Instagram and Facebook. Donate now, and your contributions will help keep Rawls Bible-based broadcasts on the air. This ministry is made possible through the generosity of partners like you, and every gift you give is tax-deductible. Next time on Somebody Loves You Radio, we'll continue this series centered on the Lord's saving love. We'll get a challenge to honestly consider whether we've ever fully surrendered our hearts to God. Here's Rawl now once again with a closing comment.
In conclusion, we have been saved from the penalty of sin and death by becoming righteousness in Jesus Christ. Secondly, we are being saved from the power of sin right now in our present state. How? By being sanctified or set apart. And thirdly, we shall, future, be saved from the presence of sin. How? By our redemption that has been given to each one of us here this morning. So when we speak of the calling of God and the choosing of God, my question to you is, are you willing to be used of God if He calls you? You say, you think He'll call me? Hey, He's calling you this morning so that you can give yourself to Him.
I am falling in love with you.
This program is sponsored by Somebody Loves You Radio in Diamond Bar, California.